And we're live.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I am Brian Ozone, and I am here with the Candyman, Chris Hummel, and we have two special guests tonight with us. We have Leslie and Jack Wadsworth, the original He-Man and She-Ra from the Power Tour. Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey there.
It's nice to have you guys on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I got to tell you, it doesn't look like you guys aged a bit after all these years.
Oh, it's only been, a week since the show ended, so. Yeah.
Crazy lag right now.
Yeah, big lag.
Yeah. I got some cool stuff I wanted to show you the show that I might have actually bought from you guys. It's a Skeletor thing.
One of our pendants.
Yeah, one of the pendants, the Skeletor. I have an Orko.
Oh, yes. These are collector items.
Yes. And I have you, Leslie.
Oh, my.
I also have the Power Tour pendant, but that's hanging on my wall. And I bought this from you guys last year.
Oh. Golly, dude.
Yeah.
Mobile Hell.
Yeah, I told you. I'm a big fan of you guys. I'm a big fan of the Power Tour. I love it. Like I said, it's one of the coolest things in Masters that a lot of people don't really know that much about. Maybe you guys can explain, what the show was about.
Well, Brian, where were you saw the show?
Yes, I did. I did see the show.
What city?
I live in New York City, so I believe I don't remember if I either saw it at Radio City Music Hall or Madison Square Garden.
It was Radio City.
It was Radio City, right? Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's where I saw it.
If I'm right, you guys still hold the record for the sellout at Radio City, correct?
Dude.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's you guys.
That's pretty cool. And we even have we still have our key to the dressing room. It says Radio City Music Hall on it.
You know, really? Frank Sinatra, He-Man. It's all the same, right?
You've one upped the Sinatra. So there you go.
Hey, old Blue Eyes. What can we do with that?
How many shows was it? Was it 18 shows?
It was
19. Yeah.
19. Right.
And we sold them all out, which was really
it was phenomenal.
Really great. It was a phenomenal couple of weeks in New York City that we will never forget. It was amazing.
Now, how long did the show did it actually go on for? How long were you guys on the road for?
I would say probably 9-10 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was going to go to Europe. And, I watched this recently. I watched a series on how the toy sales spiked and then plummeted. And they fell out at Mattel in 87.
Yeah.
87, 88, wasn't it?
Probably. Yes. Yeah.
And then, it went from the most amazing toy sale ever to rock bottom.
And they
cut the show because the toy sale, even after the movie and the road show that we did, of course, that didn't prop it up. It's just not enough people. It wasn't enough.
Wow.
Just couldn't do it.
Wow.
We were busy though. Yeah. I mean, every venue that we played, it was packed.
Oh yeah, sold out everywhere.
We sold out everywhere.
So, yeah, it was the hottest ticket going.
Yeah, you know. We had to save New York one time. Leslie and I, Skeletor had taken over Park Avenue, and we had to fly in from where was it, Roanoke or something.
I don't know. We were somewhere.
We had to save the city, man.
Yeah. Now, the quick question, I know that they, for the Thanksgiving Day parade, they had the Masters and She-Ra float. Were you guys a part of that?
No.
No. No, we were too busy doing the shows, so they had somebody else do it. I don't even know who that was.
Actually. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, it was nobody. So it was nobody even from your production crew at all. No. Oh, it was somebody completely different. Oh, okay.
Well, they would have probably just hired more of a body than someone that could actually act or perform. Correct?
Yeah, put somebody in a He-Man suit.
Yeah, and did this.
Right. Yeah,
oh, exactly. Yeah.
The wave. So, Brian, if I could ask a quick question, I'm under the impression that you two met on Conan. On the Conan tour.
Yeah, on the Conan show at Universal Studios. We met in a circus tent in the parking lot of Universal Studios because we were learning how to sword fight.
Yeah.
So there were three separate casts because we did like 10 shows a day.
Wow.
Conan the Barbarian, which was a great show. Same guys that directed the He-Man and She-Ra Power Tour directed the Conan show. And so, yeah, that's how we met.
Love at first sight right there.
No.
No.
Was it before or after the sword miss? I realized it was love then.
So let me get this straight. You guys actually started with Conan, that show first, and then you went on to the Power Tour?
Yeah.
You know, the Conan show started in 83. And we married on set at the Conan set at Universal in 83. And then we left the show. It was really going nowhere. I mean, it was one of those agony of repeats, you know. Okay, we did the show for month after month. And then we decided to go back to Alaska, where I was from, and continue working in that industry, the oil field industry, and get my investment, my retirement going, finished. And then we were called by the producers of the He-Man show to come down and audition. And they'd looked all over the country for He-Man and She-Ra. And they go, hey, let's call Jack and Leslie. We're in Anchorage at the time.
I think it was cold. I think it was like 20 below. So I was in have a nice change of aquarium, shall we say.
Yeah. Especially wearing that She-Ra outfit. I can imagine.
Right.
So actually, I think we both came down. I had the flu. Did you have the flu?
Yeah, we both had the flu.
So we auditioned with the flu.
It was bad.
And got the part. Of course, they had exhausted everything else. So I guess they had to default to us.
But you know what? That Conan show went on for like 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Not that we would have. I would never have lasted that long. I mean, you know, they went through cast members after cast members because it was pretty physical show, but it's a great way to meet my life partner.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So when you guys were doing the Power Tour, I think somebody told me, it might've even been Ruth Gilbert, because she was doing a little bit of reading this weekend. And she said, Jack, you sweat 3 pounds a performance of water.
246, 48, you know, 245 pounds, let's just say. 3 pounds, not even, you know, 1% of your body. I mean, goodness sakes, that's not much water when you think about it. If I come off stage, I go on stage at 248, come off at 245, I just drink it right back in, you know.
Wow.
A lot of work, though. Gosh.
I see your point.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, the if you saw the show when, you know, we showed it at last PowerCon, it was an aerobic, anaerobic, just constant fight scene after fight scene and rescue after rescue.
Yeah, that was actually the best that I've seen probably since I've actually seen it live. And I was speaking to Leslie before the show, I've been on the hunt trying to find this thing for years, the show in its entirety, in any form of fashion whatsoever. I just would love to sit on my couch and just watch the thing from beginning to end.
Yeah.
But it was great to, you know, relive that last year at PowerCon with, you know, with you guys and everything. That was really cool.
How old are you now?
I'm going to be 40 in April.
So that was 30, what, years ago? 31 years ago?
31, yeah, right.
So you were 9?
Yeah, around there.
It's hard to remember things when you're that kind of intense show. It was a 2-hour show, wasn't it, honey?
So that made an impact on you?
I loved it.
Wow.
Yeah, how could you remember all that? There's so much. I mean, the attorney and circus would make you want to forget the rest of it, but it was a good show.
No, it definitely is. I was so proud that I even hunted down the original program. And then last year for the PowerCon, they reprinted it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of a little upset about that because it kind of like took away the value of.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so what happened?
No. I know it didn't, but you know, to me it was like, you know, I had this holy grail and
everybody's walking around with
Exactly.
I got you. Yeah.
That's what I meant by
Here's the amazing thing about that. Val gives us a call and I go, yeah, I've got some original programs. So he said, well, look, if you don't mind sending me one, I'll make copies. He sent back a copy for us to look at. It was perfect.
Identical.
Oh, we couldn't tell that. I mean, the quality was amazing.
With the exception of it saying duplicate on the back, you know, on font 3 or whatever.
Right.
Perfect. I couldn't believe you did that.
Yeah, because I even looked at it myself, and I was gonna buy it if there were any differences, but it was exactly the same as the original that I own, and the one that I own is in prestige mint condition.
Perfect.
So I was like, you know what? I don't even need to buy the reprint. I have, you know, the Holy Grail itself. So I was pretty happy with that.
Amen.
Do you guys still keep in touch with any of the other crew members, or you know, do you?
We keep in touch with Ninjor, Man at Arms. Now and then we'll get in touch with Songster. You know, Doug and
Doug's going to be on the show next week.
And then you know, I keep in touch with Beastman and
Orko. Orko's in Florida. Marcy's in Florida.
Okay.
Tennessee, one of the two.
But Zach Hoffman, Man at Arms, he and I keep in close touch because we're both voice actors.
Okay.
And so, you know, he did a lot of G.I. Joes and you know, cartoon voices and stuff like that. And so we lived up in Seattle for many years, and Zach is up there. So we saw him all the time, which is great.
Nice.
His nickname is not Man at Arms. It's Ma.
Yeah, we call him Ma.
M-A-A.
And he calls us, you know, he and she. It's just the way.
Right.
That's our love. That's our love names.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So Leslie, like, what type of voice acting do you do now these days?
All kinds of stuff.
We're in our studio.
This is my studio, which is really awesome. So I have a studio in the house. I do audiobooks, commercials, documentaries, a lot of IVR. I probably put you on hold. I'm sorry. This is no joke. This was not very long ago. I got a call from myself.
Really?
From Bank of America. I was telling myself that I had suspicious activity on my credit card.
Oh my gosh, I just hung up on you last week.
I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry.
Hey. In this podcast.
that's so pretty freaky.
Weird. It's totally weird. Yeah. But that's
That's pretty cool. Do you do any like cartoons?
I have done a lot of video games, different video games.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the one that I just did. My character was Mira Boss. She was very old and she had an accent like this. And I had to sing. Kind of scary.
Really?
Yeah, but the video games are a blast, except when you have to yell and scream, and then it's not worth, you know, shrieking your voice over. That's not fun, but...
You need a 1,000 cups of tea with lemon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Brian alluded to a statement earlier, and now, see, I'm 47, so I didn't see any of the Power Tour. I lived in the Midwest. So for me, I'm catching snippets on YouTube here or there. Okay. Are there plans that you might be aware of where they plan on maybe releasing that as a DVD of availability where they might have the show in its entirety available?
You know, I can get a hold of Val. What we decided, you know, Val and his team were, you know, beating us up over the years. I've got probably 12 copies of different, you know, the show in different cities, some of which are poorly recorded old VHS camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the lighting is horrible. It's just rough stuff. And so we compiled a really, what we thought was really good. And then Ninjor, or, you know, Gus Parks, who did all the filming or had someone from the crew film while we did the show, he came up with a better one. And we showed both of those at PowerCon. So, you know, I thought we were going to release that to the public. Happy to do it. How long has it been? 34 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's let go of it.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt anybody. Here's what we... Oh, I remember what it was. We were going to have Val and or Ninjor, one of the two, contact Mattel.
Mattel, that was
But bad. Mattel let go of the rights to He-Man recently.
Really?
Yeah, in the last couple of years, He-Man's moved on from Mattel. So we're trying to get the permission, you know, so that we're not somehow in a courtroom someday.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to step on anybody's toes.
We're okay with letting it go as soon as we get the approval. Let me follow up on that. I'll get back.
And as a matter of fact, when we played Canada, this was toward the end of the tour, we were in, I believe it was it Calgary? Or I think it was one of the cities in Canada that we played. And it was professionally filmed. And we've never seen it. We don't know where it is.
Really?
What happened, but it was all professionally done. And you know, we've all been like, what happened to Canada?
Right, where is that? Now, you guys could follow up on this, but I do believe, and I could be wrong, but I do believe that Mattel still owns the rights, but they let Super 7 basically subcontract to create the action figures. But I do believe Mattel still owns the overall rights.
Okay.
You're probably right. You all probably know more about it than we do. You know.
I just want to make it happen. So yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that always like boggled my mind is that, you know, you did the show for so long and you did so many shows and there's not even a crappy version out there yet. You know, like on the black market. There's nothing.
Food thing.
Yeah, there's like nothing out there to find. I mean, I found these guys did a play, a Masters of the Universe play, and it's pretty horrible. But you know, I spent the $15 and I bought it, and you know something like that they made into a DVD, and I'm shocked that the Power Tour still to this day there's nothing out there available for anybody to watch.
In this day and age of social media, we should just create a page and tell people that we're looking for the Canadian version that's been already professionally recorded.
I know. I bet it'll pop up, right?
We'll hunt it down.
Yeah. Well, I hunt it down. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. That's
great. You're keeping us alive. Yeah. You're resuscitating us.
Yes. I mean, like I said before, you know, it was a big, you know, growing up, He-Man was a big part of my life. You know, it was great, and again, going to see the show and then actually seeing you guys be them live was awesome. You know, it was.
Well, that's cool.
Because you know, like cartoons are fake, but you know, you had the Dolph Lundgren movie, and then you had you guys live at the same time. It was just everything was just. You know, it was just so cool. And then, like Jack said a few minutes ago, it just plummeted and that was it.
Boom. You know, as a matter of fact, guys, let's see. We moved down from Seattle in 2011. And I think the year before, I can't think of the guys' names that were doing the documentary on the toy itself. And that was... And they had come up to Seattle to interview us. And then shortly after that, when we moved down to California, PowerCon, I mean, my point is, it's like with it been within the last 6 years, I should say, that all of a sudden there's, you know, people are interested in this again. And we're like going, What?
Well, that's the thing. It's just it never really died out. People have always been interested. It's just now with the internet and everything, it's and Facebook even better now, so it's so much easier to find and locate people that were involved in these things, and you can interact with them quicker and faster. Like, you know, like I message you, and you know, it's just so much easier nowadays with social media.
I've been buying and selling toys for over 25 years, and everything runs in cycles. It's very cyclical. And right now, those kids that either had the Eternia playset or, more importantly, didn't have the Eternia playset, or those kids that had Grayskull or didn't have Grayskull, either way, their memory is of that moment. And it's watching the cartoon and then having the opportunity to get the toys gives you an opportunity to have a very intangible feeling and make it tangible in your hands. And it all runs based on age. The point I'm getting at is we're all now old enough that we have real jobs that we can try to buy our childhood back.
Ah, gotcha.
So
now, guys, was there ever plans with Mattel to actually make figures of you guys? Like you guys as He-Man and She-Ra?
No. You know, they were so successful with the original that I don't think that was even ever considered.
Yeah, I don't think they ever considered that. No. Yeah, we were certainly never approached.
You know, the remake and everything else was a failed attempt to bring back the original He-Man, but the original look is still, you know, never been accomplished. It's just the original He-Man and Skeletor and She-Ra dolls or action figures actually are just incomparable. You can't redo that. You know, they've tried to make them bigger, tried to make them more muscular. They just can't do it. The
original's good.
Yeah, the originals were great.
Yeah.
It's iconic because that's what you're first introduced to when you're a child.
Right.
You know, same thing. You know, I know you guys don't know a lot about toys per se, but if you remember the Star Wars craze, which is still going on today, when those 3 3/4-inch action figures were released and they had very limited articulation, that's, you know, you could make a much better action figure today. However, the company called Funko is actually making multiple licenses, and Motu is one of them, into the 3 3/4-inch very basic action figure look. So you can now cross over the different toy lines and the different licensing properties. And it's just that iconic feeling. And right now,
They're selling very, very well as well.
Yeah, they sell extremely well. And what's interesting is we're now experiencing the same thing with the iconic look of the original Mattel style Motu figures, Masters of the Universe figures, because the company Funko has also now released Mortal Kombat action figures that look, they're built in the same style, that same muscular look as the original Masters of the Universe from 83. And they're also going to be doing Thundercats
in
the same look. So you guys have hit the nail on the head in that it's incomparable.
Yeah.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Cool. So when it comes to the Power Tour, I have a question. What would you say is your most outstanding memory from your time on the tour?
There's a lot of them. But I think for me, what happened was it wasn't as much of a memory as it was a shift. And what happened was that the Make-A-Wish organization got in touch with us. I don't know, maybe it was 2 or 3 months into touring. And, you know, these are very sick, terminally ill kids.
Children. Yeah, yeah, it's a very good foundation.
Final, you know, their final wish was to talk to He-Man or She-Ra or this kind of thing. And I think it was at that point that Jack and I both realized that this was is much bigger than just a toy. And it for me personally, I think it brought more ownership and commitment to what we were doing. And so it just made the tour that much better, because we were making a difference in these kids' lives. And all of a sudden what happened was we were on a tour bus, but Jack and I ended up flying ahead to the cities that we were going to see next, because we had, everything was all lined up. We went to a lot of hospitals and saw a lot of sick kids. And it was very rich to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's very nice of you too to do something like that, because I'm sure, you know, that's something that you're not getting paid to do. I'm sure you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart.
And like you said, it does add a level of, I guess, realism. Again, taking that tangible situation, or that intangible cartoon, that intangible, and making it tangible. And that for those kids, you know, I don't know if you did get a chance to watch The Toys That Made Us, but the creators were talking about how I Have the Power gave the kid the power. You know, when he said that iconic phrase, he gave him the power. And by you sharing your powers, really, with those kids, is a memory that, you know, that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing it.
What about you,
hon? Yeah, so I would have to double up on that. And then, you know, as far as the show goes itself, you know, when in the show, you know, was the most memorable of all the shows. And it, every time it was, you know, at the end of the show, when we sang to the kids, you know, we had the audience, the show is over, we're singing to them, you know, you have the power to be anything you want to be. You can take good, bad, and
make the world
bad to good. Only be good.
Oh my gosh, it's coming back!
Dad, sing it.
You have the power. You have the power.
So the whole cast is lined up and on the end of the stage, and we're looking out to a sea of real people, real, you know, children and adults too. And we're within feet, literally 2-3 feet of them, and to the front row, and then the sea of people behind them, and we're lifting our swords. It's just sick.
You know, that's when theater is beautiful, because, you know, we're feeding off of these. Our jobs were not difficult, because we are feeding off of little Bryans.
And then at the end,
you guys gave us the energy. You know, we're just like floating along, because it's just there.
So what happened after we sang that song, you know, Doug would go into a song and sing the theme of the whole show, and we have a festival of lights. And what?
Oh, happened, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Like,
Leslie and I would go backstage, and different characters would, and we'd come out, and they'd turn the lights off, and we'd come out with these, if you will, He-Man outfit and She-Ra outfit that were had battery packs, and we were all lit up. And he would sing us back to Eternia as we left Earth in the celebration of lights. You know, real spectacular. So those, to me, was better than the fight scenes, because at the beginning of the show, after we were introduced, and we talked to the people, and we introduced Songster to everyone who's going to tell the story, that's when we really start touching the kids. You know, we're able to look at your face.
Right.
And tell you what's about to happen. And then Leslie and I segue, and here comes Songster down from the tripod, or coming down, and he starts to sing, and we're off, and then
come
back.
And let me tell you something about Songster,
cool
too.
Cool stuff.
I mean, you know, he was with Todd Rundgren, and I know you'll have him on next week, but man.
Yeah, I could sing.
That guy could sing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And man, when he, you know, and but you got to think about it. I mean, you're doing this 5 nights a week. And so, I mean, and he was live. So his voice would get.
And we didn't just stop at one show a day either.
No. I mean,
especially in Radio City. We were doing 3 shows a day.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely were. Yeah.
They worked that guy's vocal cords to the bone. But I tell you what, you know, he was really good.
Really, really
Doug
good.
was spectacular.
He told the story.
Yeah. He was Songster.
He knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's still active today in the music world. He's got his own band and everything. Yeah.
Oh,
he's still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to have
him. He's a rowdy guy.
Is he really? Yeah.
Well, you know, he's a hard one to pin down. We've been trying to get him to, some of these power cons. Maybe one day we'll be able to drag
him. Yeah, I've been trying to get him to, get on the show and, talk about it. And, I don't know, maybe he wanted to distance himself. You know, some people, they kind of, I guess, feel like they did their thing and it's time to move on and they don't want to be typecast or whatnot. But I'm really glad that
How big of an audience are you dealing with on this podcast on a regular basis?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know. I never ask the numbers because I don't want to get disappointed or too happy. So
I was going to say the group itself on Facebook has 5,000 members. And as far as our viewership goes, it would fluctuate, I guess, based upon the content.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt about it. He-Man and She-Ra saved New York, but you're probably going to save our podcast too. So we appreciate.
Well, then you have the power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page has, I think, like 5,200 members right now, but every week it fluctuates. For a while, we just basically would have topics and, talk amongst ourselves about, certain He-Man things. And now for like the past maybe two and a half, 3 months, I've been trying to get guests and to come on the show and talk about He-Man and people like you guys about like what you did and how you what you did in the Masters of the Universe, so to speak. So, it's good because it's good to relive the moments of our past, and it's great because it's again, for those who don't know anything about it, and new listeners, it's bringing them now, bringing them into something new that they can look forward to checking out and looking and getting involved in, because like I said, it's I think it's the most underestimated canon of Masters of the Universe. I really think it brings a lot more to the table than what people think. For that matter is that it hasn't been seen in so long in its entirety.
Let me assure you, Brian, that when we set on this Masters of the Universe journey 31 years ago, we would have no idea that we would be talking to folks like you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not in the cards, right?
We didn't have cell phones.
No, we didn't.
Or any of that stuff.
No.
We didn't even have fax machines, okay?
Yeah.
No, fax machine was like huge, right?
I was going to say, all the things that were in cartoons 31 years ago that they've given us that we now have today, where is my jetpack? That's all I'm saying.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Nice quiet one, too.
Where is my jetpack? I love that.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Do you guys, because I don't believe I saw it at any of the power cons, do you guys still have your outfits? Were you able to keep those? I think the swords, the outfits,
the costumes. I tell you what, our last show, when we were finished, I remember there was a convergence of, I don't know, people from Mattel or whatever, and those costumes were taken, and we had a nothing. I think we actually had
the Festival of Lights.
Yeah, I think we snuck that one out.
But we used to put it out in front of our house for Halloween. We'd dress up.
Yeah.
Tell anyone.
Yeah, it's like private podcast.
I was trying to get my crown, my FTD.
That'd be cool. Yeah. That would have
been cool. But no, they were, I don't know. It was interesting.
We do have our Conan, Conan customers.
Yeah, I have my Red Sonja.
Oh, really?
My leathers.
Originals, baby.
Yeah.
My boots made from Di Fabrizio
in
Hollywood. You know, Cher and all the boot makers.
Drop the mic. Just drop the mic on that one.
Di Fabrizio, man.
Yeah.
So you know, now, with your, when it ended, what kind of notice did you have? Did you know the show was only going to run for so long? Or when you found out, did you get any kind of preparation to it?
No, it was like a bomb. You know, we were just finishing up Vancouver, British Columbia, and we had done Calgary, Edmonton. We had gone through the United States. We'd come San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego. We were going to...
We're going to go to Europe.
We were heading...
Right, yeah, you said that, yeah.
At one point, we're going to go international and probably to Japan because it was huge in Japan. And we just got a notice. I think it was probably 1 or 2 day notice. It was
weird.
Almost no notice that the show has been canceled and your hopes and dreams for taking us any further are gone. Leslie and I were invited to be on the Johnny Carson show at the time. And, you know, that didn't even get through its infancy when the show got canceled. We were no longer going to be, you know, guests of Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
The show was gone.
Right, right. Wow.
What a platform that would have been.
That would have helped quite a bit.
Yeah, we did go to the White House for the annual Easter egg.
So, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's a great segue. So, you know, we're there with Johnny Money, who sings a great, you know, Born America song. I can't remember which one he sings. Yeah, I think so. And we were with the kids, and it was, you know, there was other costume characters there, you know, like Blondie and Jughead, Speak and Spell. But we were kind of the hits of the show for the Easter egg. And this was for the senators and House of Representative children and special guests.
Oh, so you guys were in your outfits.
This was we were in character, yes.
Oh, the Reaganomics era, huh?
That was Reagan.
We're in the Rose Garden and the Easter egg hunt. And so Vice President Bush was there and his wife Barbara before, of course, they were behind the Oval Desk. And we had this thing that we carried around with us that we gave to certain people. It was the Eternian Orb of Friendship. And it's a big... acrylic symbol.
You need this in your collection, Brian.
Yes, I do. My eyes are wide open right now.
I'm going to go grab it. I think I know where it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I am listening closely because now I'm on the hunt for an Eternian Orb of Friendship. Thanks, guys.
The Eternian Orb of Friendship.
I need to have one.
Well, good luck. I was sitting there with George and Barb, Leslie and I were standing over a seat, George and Barbara in Speak and Spell. You can see him in the shot. Anyway, I had one of them with me, and I put it on Barbara Bush's neck. So, I mean, that was a cool moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Barbara Bush is an iconic name.
Definitely.
Texas, much less, you know, around the world during the Bush era. And it was really this is 1987, so... It's been a while, so Leslie's going to bring you an Eternian Orb of Friendship.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, that's a great story. That's really cool.
Totally cool. So let me see if I can get this from you. Okay, I have a couple of things to show you. So this, can you see this?
Oh, wow, yes, yeah.
Wait, how's that? There, can you
see
this?
That's even better. Yeah, wow.
Eternian Orb.
Here, it's turned.
Of Friendship.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Can you believe it with your little necklace? And, okay, get this. This was, remember I told you about this is our Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I have two good livers if you need one.
You guys are going to, you're not going to believe this. Okay, these.
Wait a second. Preface this by, what was Reagan's favorite candy?
Jelly beans.
What were they called?
Well, he likes Jelly Bellies.
These are the White House Jelly Bellies from the Easter.
Really?
Celebration. Yeah.
Awesome.
It says Easter White House. These things are 31 years old.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Can you see it?
Great.
And then one more thing. I just got this. Can you see this?
Easter at the White House. Wow. Nathan, just awesome.
Oh, wow.
You see it?
Yeah, look at that.
That is awesome.
Isn't that awesome? I just found, I can't believe I found these. Yeah. Usually we have stuff in a box.
Oh, there's Betty. Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, since I answered all of your trivia questions correctly, how soon shall I expect the attorney in Orb Friendship?
We'll put it on eBay. The bets start now, right?
Oh, my God. It's going to go for so much money. I'll see if I can get another mortgage on my house.
We're gonna have a reserve, okay?
So like Mattel would give you these to hand out to kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get many Eternian orbs. I mean, there were very few of these. I mean, I don't know if I saw any more than three or six of these in the whole time we had them.
Well, you guys are researchers. You got to look them up. I would be curious to see what you find.
That's how it looks.
I actually have three different versions of the Power Sword that they sold at the Power Tour.
Oh, you?
Yeah, I'm redoing my He-Man room right now, so I couldn't find them to show on the show. But I do have three different versions, and they're expensive themselves. They're up there in money.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
I was gonna say anything from the Power Tour, and you guys could understand this because it was, limited run. And you had to be in person to get it. The rarity on the items from your Power Tour is a lot harder to find. So your stuff's more valuable than the regular.
What about the tour jackets?
Sure.
Yeah.
Big money.
Yeah.
I got some money.
we have two tour jackets each. One that says, you know, it's She-Ra and He-Man, and then it says, and then it's our names on it. I don't know why we have two, but the backs are really cool.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think you brought it to PowerCon last year.
Yeah, yeah. The jackets are cool. I mean, they're like brand new.
I was gonna say. I mean, I know that you're probably not looking to sell them, but if you're just asking about, you know, being just kind of curious,
yeah,
I would say a lot, a number. It's, you know, when it comes to Masters of the Universe merchandise.
Yeah,
it is definitely eye of the beholder. Okay,
I agree with that.
That being said, there's a lot of eyes, and they are all beholding.
You guys are so fun.
I have two sets of eyes that are on everything and anything of the Power Tour that you, if you got to sell, just send me a message.
Okay, right away.
I can't get enough of that stuff. I love it.
What about the script?
I don't own the
script. Cool.
Yeah, that definitely would be cool.
Yeah,
we have the Conan script.
Yeah, we have the Conan script too.
Oh yeah.
See, now I'm not gonna lie. I'm a huge Conan fan, which is why I found out that information, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting a doubla today. two for one, awesome in my life today. Thank
you're
you.
You're getting a twofer.
So how long did you guys do the Conan show before you jumped ship to do in Masters?
Conan show was 1983, and we did that for several months, and then Jack proposed.
Okay.
So Universal Studios, they approached us. This was the cool thing, because they said, hey, look, Conan and Red Sonja in real life are getting married. We will, if you let us publicize your wedding, we'll take care of the costs and everything.
Wow.
Okay. So that was, you know, I mean, granted, my wedding pictures look like we were married in the dungeons of hell. But, you know, we had half-naked barbarians above us. You know, we were in traditional wedding garb. But it was quite a, you know, and this was actually, when you think about it, this is before reality TV. When you think about it, and we're one of the survivors. I mean, 35 years, guys, in October. Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. It's been a really good long run. I mean, it's
been a good run.
Yeah, it has. It definitely has been.
That's because you no longer face a helpless old man or young boy. You now face Conan and all the powers from him.
Yes!
So
thank
what did
you so much?
What did you guys like? What did you guys like to play better? Did you like to play the Conan or did you like to play the He-Man?
Well, one of them was 20 minutes. The Conan show was much quicker. It's more condensed.
Yeah.
But at the Conan show, we had like a 25-foot animated fire-breathing laser-shooting dragon that we had.
Really?
Real fire protective gear.
Wow.
Shields and burned wigs. And, you know, we were fighting real soldiers or guys there. So that, to me, was a better show. The He-Man show is geared a little bit different. Even though it was live and you had that sense of real audience interaction at Conan, you know, the difference is clearly you're talking to a different audience, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you're telling a child, you know, that he has the power to change the world from bad to good versus, you know, killing a dragon and slaying another barbarian.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different thing.
Yeah.
The Barbarian show, when we originally did it, was the best show. I think
that was a great show.
It was phenomenal. Later, the casts weren't as good. The show degraded. I have to admit it. You know, I sound a little egomaniacal here, but I have to say our show was so good at the beginning.
It was.
And then it just kind of faded. Whereas the He-Man Masters Universe Power Tour got better and better and better. By the time we hit Calgary and Edmonton and Vancouver, it was just rocking.
Yeah, we had a lot of money.
It was killer.
Yeah.
You know, the show changed for Radio City because the size of the stadium, or excuse me, the stage was different.
We played
mostly in arenas, like a basketball court. We'd go to, like in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we played on the hockey ring. You know, they just covered it. And, you know, we'd go to different, you know what I'm saying? Like the Staples Center.
Yeah.
Cal Palace. In San Francisco, different things like that.
Yeah.
You know, in Las Vegas, it was, you know, that the college of a basketball thing. Anyway, but the point is,
I'm trying to think what it was,
you know, Conan and He-Man were just very different. It took still a really muscular guy to do both, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Guys, I hate to sound rude, but I have a client at 5 o'clock.
Understood.
No problem. Guys,
Microsoft. Small clients. It's Microsoft.
Guys, I really appreciate you guys being a part of the show. It was definitely my pleasure having you on. Again, you know, maybe down the road we can have you back on. We can talk, you know, more. Maybe we can get more stuff, find more whatever to talk about. Again, thank you for taking the time and joining us. And are you guys going to Power Tour this year, or
you've been to Power Con and Power Tour?
Power Con this year.
Yeah, we did Power Con and Comic Con. So Power Con, are they planning on a 2018 show?
Yes, they are. Oh.
Well, what happens sometimes? Val will have us skip a year now and then. Because, you know, he just wants to have variation, and so we appreciate that.
Right.
So, you know, you can only see us so much. It seems
unless
like,
it's back east, that would be cool. I mean, if there was
finding something for you on the East Coast would be
on the East Coast would be cool. Yeah.
When they were going to have it here on the East Coast, it was literally a 5-minute drive from my house.
Oh.
And they canceled it at the last minute. I was so pissed. So mad. Because I was going to have everybody come back to my house afterwards and throw a huge barbecue. And, you know, it would have been great.
We got to let these fine folks go. She's got that call
Thank you for keeping us alive. You guys are so fun.
We very much appreciate your time. It's been tremendous. Thank you so much.
God bless, guys.
See ya.
You too, guys. Well, thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
That was fantastic. They were tremendous.